always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I don't know that there are very many sustainable adjustments that Ime Udoka can make to the problems that LeBron and Kennard present. Because, you know, yeah, you could maybe play less of Reed Shepard or less of Alperen Şengün, but the Rockets struggled to get to 98 points tonight. And if you remove a few Reed Shepard minutes, or if you remove a few Alperen Şengün minutes, then I really don't know what Houston does on offense. So yeah, the Lakers, you know, need to continue applying that pressure with those in those minutes with LeBron and Luke on the court together. And man, what a shouts to Pelinka, man. I don't think he knew what he was getting when he got him. I don't think anybody knew that Kennard had this in his bag. But I sure am glad that it turned out to be the case. DeAndre Ayton, man. DeAndre Ayton's line on his own. He played 35 minutes, went 8 of 10 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, grabbed 11 rebounds, 3 of them of the offensive variety, had a couple of assists. Remember I talked about the assist-to-assist kind of deal with Luke Kennard. Had a block shot and was a plus 7 in a game. He scored 19 points. His counterpart in this game, Alperen Şengün, played 36 minutes, went 6 of 19 from the field. I think a lot of the discomfort that Ayton presents with his size and physicality in this game led to that 6 of 19 finishing field goal line there for Şengün. I thought Şengün did a lot of his damage against Hayes and not very much of it against Ayton. And that's all that we could have possibly asked of DeAndre Ayton in this game, was like, hey, finish the opportunities that you know you're going to get, because the Lakers are going to continue putting Şengün in the pick and roll. Make sure you continue taking advantage of those shots and making those shots. His flip shot was really going tonight. Knocked down a couple of middies. You know, had some lob dunks, had, some, you know, converted on offensive rebounds as well. A really good offensive game here for DeAndre Ayton. But I actually was also really impressed with the defensive game that he played, where not only was he so physical that I thought he kind of bothered Şengün in some moments, but I also thought that, like, in switch moments where he was forced to guard on the perimeter, he actually handled those moments quite well. And, you know, there were several moments over the course of this game on both sides of the ball where I was like, damn, okay, all right, DA, you know, and it was nice, because I thought the Lakers did a very good job of getting him involved early. He was engaged right from the go in this one, and that engagement, yes, it's swayed. And there were some moments there where it was like, oh, come on, man, you got to get that rebound. But overall, just a phenomenal game here for DeAndre Ayton. And look, if the Lakers want any chance whatsoever at winning this series, it involves him playing like this for 3 more games. If the Rockets want any chance whatsoever at winning this series or getting back into the series, then Alperen Şengün cannot be outplayed by DeAndre Ayton, which was absolutely the case in this game. The last person I want to shout out here, and I'll jump into some of your guys's. You guys left some super comments, and I'll wrap up the show there. But JJ Redick, I don't have him listed there on the rundown, but I thought JJ coached a very good game in this one, and I thought he really maintained his cool, and that was especially obvious given what we saw from Ime Udoka in this game. Now, we'll see between games 1 and 2 which adjustments are made, and then we will see within game two, the adjustments and how quickly JJ can navigate those waters. But I loved that he took a momentum timeout in that fourth quarter. I loved the way that the Lakers, you know, they closed the first half pretty disappointing fashion. And it was pretty clear that the coaching staff really got on them at halftime about, like, look, we don't have the margin of error to you know, just fart around for a few minute stretch here and there. And if the Lakers, like, you know, it was really clear that, you know, he and his coaching staff really stressed to the Lakers, if you guys are going to win this series, or if you guys are going to win this game, you're going to have to play at this level for as much as you possibly can. And is it fair to ask them, a team that, you know, is probably athletically capable of playing at this level, to play this level for 48 minutes? Probably not. But in terms of, like, what the Lakers were able to realistically bring to the table tonight, I thought Redick, you know, pushed a lot of the right buttons, stuck with guys, right? Where, you know, last year I could have seen him getting a little frustrated with Rui, or I could have seen him getting a little frustrated with Vando, or getting a little frustrated with Jake and not going back to those guys.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The minute allotment in this one, I thought were really good. I don't really know why Rui is leading the way in minutes with 42. I think that's a little too many. But outside of Rui, LeBron being able to play 38 and getting 12 minutes of rest in a game with this slim of margins is incredible work. Marcus Smart, you know what his body has put him through the last few years. So him being able to play only 34 minutes in this game was huge. Loved seeing Jared Vanderbilt and Jake LaRavia play exactly the same number of minutes. I actually think you could probably add another couple of minutes to their numbers there and take out maybe like 4 minutes from Rui's numbers. Jackson Hayes played 13 minutes. I would like to see Hayes' minutes more closely aligned to Capella's. Capella played 11, Hayes played 13, and it felt like way too many of Hayes' minutes coincided with Şengün's minutes, and Şengün was just pushing around like a rag doll out there. So that'll be one potential adjustment that the Lakers could make here. Bronny got out there for 4 minutes in the first half, and, you know, they survived. I don't know how many more minutes of Bronny that they're going to get or need. Overall, I thought JJ coached a really good game. The Lakers ran plenty of organized offense. It was, you know, there was obviously the momentum timeout in the fourth quarter, but I thought over the course of the game, the messaging was very clear and you could kind of see after timeouts what was stressed during that timeout. So and then also after the game, you know, it's a lot easier for JJ to talk, you know, in calmer tones after a win. But I also thought that he, you know, just based off of the quotes that I've seen over the course of me talking here, that he, you know, clearly seems to understand why it was the Lakers were able to look the way that they did. So you know, well done to JJ there. Let's see that continue. If he can outcoach Ime Udoka in the series, on top of LeBron being potentially the best player in the series, and on top of Ayton even playing Şengün, even that's like enough of these things add up to a Lakers series win. All right, we're going to dive into some of your guys' super comments. And before we do that, we're going to play the most important sound on the show, that being Alperen Şengün running up and down the court. I just love the end. Just like, wee! I'm also obviously contractually obligated to play this. Stop watching! All right. Let's go ahead and go up to the top here. Laker Pride, 6189. Kevin better get those burner accounts ready to go. Kevin Durant's injury here. I legitimately thought that it was gamesmanship on the part of the Houston Rockets. Now, I hadn't asked around about it. It seemed to be such clear gamesmanship that I didn't ask anybody about it. But ESPN did show KD kind of going through shoot around and trying to, you know, get that knee loose, and he looked really bad. Like, he was kind of limping off of the court after just going through shoot around. Apparently he banged knees with somebody in practice going for a loose ball. And his knee has felt pretty bad since. And I truly don't know where Houston gets enough offense without KD out there. And, you know, nobody understands the plight of a fan base losing guys to injury at the worst possible time more than Lakers fans do right now. It would suck to not see. Also, like, you just don't know how many opportunities you're going to get to see LeBron and Kevin Durant share the court at the same time. But in the interest of the Lakers' chances here, this changes everything. Houston, their half-court offense was a disaster out there. The only times that Houston looked honestly competitive with the Lakers or obviously better, you know, when they cut into runs or they started runs of their own, was when the Lakers turned the ball over and Houston was able to get out in transition. Short of Houston creating extra possessions via their own offensive rebounds or the aforementioned turnovers that allowed, or, you know, long rebounds or whatever that allowed Houston to get out in transition, Houston's offense was just really, really ugly. And, it was a lot of like, Alperen, please save us. And Reed, please save us. And Amen Thompson, please try to get by your guy. Not a whole bunch of movement. I mean, Kevin Durant played like 78 games this year. And Houston as a team was so reliant on him offensively that to lose him right before game one and basically have no reps going into the series without KD, I think completely changes the outlook of the series. I doesn't mean that the Lakers are definitely winning. I don't know. Certainly feel a hell of a lot better about it. I obviously really hope that KD is okay and that he's able to go in the series, but as far as like, you know, the impact of that and this new reality that both of these teams are living in, the game plan that the Lakers had today is pretty replicable. And I just don't know how many actual adjustments that Ime Udoka can make when it's just like he doesn't have the offensive firepower or the creativity or whatever to actually get that done. So, and then also, you know, you look at KD on the bench and, you know, they showed Fred VanVleet, you know, talking Reed Shepherd through some stuff. And you know, I just don't think Kevin Durant is the guy who's going to like turn the vibes around when things are going really poorly. So, yeah, just a really unfortunate set of circumstances here for Houston. And if KD misses like one or two more games in the series is probably over. Let's see. The next question here that we have comes from R. Jones LEL. Can the Lakers still pay Luke and Austin does AR-15 lose leverage? I don't think he loses any leverage here. I think Luke Kennard, I don't know, maybe he did become a lot more expensive. I don't know, but you know, as it stands right now, I think he's making like $8 million a year, maybe 13. I think it's 13. Luke Kennard contract. I think it's like 13 million, 11 million right now. I could see Kennard getting a raise to like $15 million a year. I don't think, you know, he goes significantly higher than that. Let's see. I want to see how old he is. He's 29 years old. So paying him on the other side of 30, he is an incredible shooter. But he does have those defensive liabilities. I don't really see a team going too much higher than 15. I would say in that like 13 to 15 million a million dollar a year range would be kind of where I'd be comfortable with him at. And at that point, like the Lakers don't have bird rights, but they have enough guys who do have bird rights that you can just pay Kennard. He's going to have a small cap hold as well. You could just pay Kennard, you know, give him a decent little raise for like a, you know, 2 or 3 year contract. He's relative, like the path to bringing him back is relatively simple. It's the guys like, you know, Rui, who has a bigger cap hold, or LeBron, who has a huge cap hold, right? Like those are the guys that, you know, there has to be some flexibility, some potential sacrifice, some real conversation as far as like how the math can be math there. Kennard's potential return, I think is relatively easy to chart. And look, this being such a win for Rob Pelinka, he doesn't typically let wins like this just walk out the door. Unless it's like Jordan Goodwin. Justin Tyndall writes, Rob is smoking a cigar tonight over the Luke trade. Yeah, you guys know how I feel about Rob Pelinka, but that was honestly a season-saving win, right? Like, no, if Gabe Vincent is on their team right now and if they don't make the Luke Kennard trade, or even if they make a different trade for a similarly talented player who doesn't have these like this like secret skill set like waiting in the wings, then the Lakers season is probably over, right? Like if it played out exactly the same way after the trade went down. And you know, shouts to Rob. If he knew about this and made that kind of a trade, you know, with some kind of secret understanding of what Kennard can actually do on the ball, then kudos to him. I don't think that's how this played out, but I don't care. Like, it was a huge win, and I'm just going to enjoy it for now. We got one more here. This is from, let's see. Yeah, Let's Run UNLV. Nearly every path to a series win here also involves winning game two. This is a must-win game. This wasn't a sustainable way to play. LeBron rules. I don't know that this wasn't sustainable. Like, I think it was fairly replicable so long as Kevin Durant is out. Now, if Kevin Durant is out, then yeah, I would probably be a little, or if Kevin Durant does come back, then yeah, I would probably say that the Lakers didn't play well enough to beat the Rockets, who also happen to have Kevin Durant. But if KD misses game two and the Lakers, you know, can win game two, that is a lot of margin for error there. And that's the path here. Now, as far as like, if KD does come back, I do think that the Lakers learned some stuff offensively that KD doesn't really impact. And I think most namely, putting obviously Şengün in the pick and roll as frequently as they possibly can. And I think eventually we'll see some screener for screener stuff that forces the switch that leads to Şengün guarding LeBron when LeBron sets a screen for like Luke Kennard or something like that. Like that's something that eventually the Lakers will probably go to. But also like, you know, so everything involving Şengün defensively, I think that's something that the Lakers can continue to pick at. That scab is something that they can continue to pick at. And KD doesn't really impact that. I also think LeBron going into the post is something that KD doesn't really impact, right? Like he can shade over and he's long enough that maybe his help dissuades some of the shots that LeBron is taking, but also LeBron really kind of picked them apart from the mid-range with fadeaway jumpers that KD wouldn't really impact. So that makes me kind of think that like those two things offensively are something that the Lakers can, and also the kinds of turnovers that the Lakers had in this game, especially when like when Houston got back into it at the end of the first half, there it wasn't a matter of like Houston doing incredible things defensively. You had a play where like Rui was dribbling up the court and then just like somehow forgot that there was a Rockets player right next to him, right? You had some bad passes, you had some bad decisions. The Lakers played a little faster than they needed to. Those lapses in focus and discipline, you know, those are things that, yeah, like they do happen sometimes, but that really doesn't feel like something that Kevin Durant does to you defensively. So if the Lakers can clean up some of that stuff, yes, Houston's offense gets significantly better when Kevin Durant is there. So there goes some margin for error. But I never thought that this series was unwinnable, even with Kevin Durant in it. The Lakers would have to play better than they did tonight. But I think they're capable of it. And, I think we'll see how that would potentially go. Hopefully. I do legitimately hope that Kevin Durant is okay. All right, I told Jen that this was only going to be a 20-minute show, and I promised her that we were going to hang out and celebrate that win together. So I am going to peace out of here and edit this show as quickly as I possibly can, and let you guys enjoy this and the rest of the week. Like, how nice is it that we get, like, all day tomorrow to just kind of, like, sit in this, like, these good vibes and all that? Great stuff here. Great stuff and an absolutely vintage performance from LeBron James that I will never, ever, ever forget. Awesome, awesome game to watch. So until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin. This was brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and play a $5 lineup to get a $50 worth of free lineups. And I did play a lineup tonight. And, unfortunately, right after I played it, we got the Kevin Durant news. I was waiting on it and figured like it was close enough to the game that like KD wouldn't be scratched. And then he was in that lineup. But anyway, have a great rest of your evenings. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow, right, with a mailbag episode. See you guys then.
Bye, everyone.